Horizon Talk Radio. Online from the Highlands of Scotland, we are voices from around the world. You're listening to The Andy Peacher Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, very warm welcome again. It's good to be back, about the fourth show now. We're trying to use more technology in our show, so this is now in a video format, which will be posted on YouTube as well as on Spreaker at spreaker.com/show Horizon Talk Radio Podcast. Just going to check that we're all there. I think that's all good. Just 2 seconds. Yep, we're live. Timothy Spearman live from the UK with Andy Peacher. Tim is an author. He talks about the history and all the other things that people don't want to talk about on his website. It's shakesaspear.com. That's shakes with an S and then aspear.com. Thinking about that, Tim, the other day, I was thinking Shaking a Spear might have been a better website name. I know you originally did it for Shakespeare, but yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show again. And what do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I mean, can we change the name to Shaking a Spear? I mean, that's fine. That'll do fine. I don't know if we can change the website name, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it's doable. It's doable. It's not expensive. A few dollars, maybe 10. Same price, okay, really, as the old one. I just did a Google search the other day, and there's more Shaking and then A Spear and Together than there is Shakes a Spear.
Yeah, that's good plan. I like that. The reason I chose the whole thing, Shaking a Spear or Shakes a Spear, all that, it's to do with Shakespeare, of course, and it's a play on words, but it has a lot of history to it because Francis Bacon, Queen Elizabeth Tudor's son, and Edward de Vere, Queen Elizabeth Tudor's son as well. They were both royal princes that were illegitimate sons of Queen Elizabeth I. Changeling children is the way they're referred to because they were changed. They were given to aristocratic families to bring up and raise and hide their true birth. In fact, Francis Bacon had all of his documentation pertaining to his royal birth destroyed by Her Majesty the Queen because she just didn't want it to be known. Not that she was ashamed of the greatest genius that the world's ever known, but she was found it necessary to keep it secret, not just because of the scandal element, but for other reasons. And he became extremely influential and powerful behind the scenes, basically running Her Majesty's Secret Service for all intents and purposes and using his own writing guild as a propaganda ministry. And of course, if you can't see that the Shakespeare plays a propaganda directed against the courts of Europe as well as sometimes the English court, you're kind of in the dark. You really don't understand the plays if you can't see that. Hamlet's so clearly directed against the English court, just that the attack is indirect because it's set in Denmark. But if you'll note, Norway, which is where old Fortinbras and young Fortinbras, the monarchs that are to take over after the Hamlet dynasty collapses, they are representative of Scotland because Norway is directly north of Denmark, just as Scotland's directly north of England. So the analog is just brilliant, and the masterpiece that it is political in its attack upon the English court. And yeah, that's just one example. Okay, buddy. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm. Yeah, glad to do your videos regarding, you know, the sacred geometry. I mean, to be honest with you, I understood zero from the beginning. And now I understand quite a lot because, for me, not interested in that kind of era, you link things with real-life events and it makes it understandable. But I tell you what, I've had some headaches over names and numbers. And I'd love to try and find one. Let's try and find one, actually. Just an example where I guess they call it tongue-tied, because I definitely was tongue-tied. And I think it comes from, don't know if it's a T-square, is it? No, not the T-square. It's, oh, yeah. This is a typical example of your work, which for people who understand it is brilliant. It's D4D, disestablishmentarian, and so on. I mean, God, I can't. You know, trying to work out how to put a picture to go with the audio with that, it was a job and a half. And, you know, I've done channeling now, and I've also done the Twin Towers today and the Pentagon. And there were more for me that was on my wavelength.
Yeah. So, like, I hope people will visit the website and look at Andy's brilliant videos that he did based on those songs. And the song lyrics, you know, they're all in sacred geometry type shapes, geometric shapes. And the lyrics are pretty instructive, you know, and it shows the occult symbolism behind all of these events and why they do it the way they do it. And yeah, it was a great project that we did in Seoul, Korea with Lance. He doesn't want his full name to be mentioned in association with the project, but he was a very much helpful. I won't give his last name though. And then there was James Newhouse from Montreal, here in Canada. And yeah, so those two musicians did the music. I did the lyrics and the singing, and or chanting or talking or whatever the heck I was doing. That was a lot of fun, Andy. I wish you'd been there to watch us doing it.
Well, I'm being double-crossed at the moment, so I'm going to finish that one off, not tomorrow, we're away tomorrow for the day, going 120 miles each way to see the family. So, yeah, I'll finish awesome. That one off on Tuesday, and eventually everyone will be done, and then we'll stick it into one big sacred geometry video, because yeah, it gives me a bit of understanding of what days were like then, but what days are like now, and we've got these vaccine problems, obviously. From my point of view, yeah. I'm not 100% vaccines. I never was, sorry, and I've had loads of problems and things written about it. When we had medical problems with our family, trying to get somebody to help us because we're convinced that the children were vaccine damaged. It might have turned out in the end, actually, later on in life, that they had an hereditary disease called Charcot-Marie-Tooth. But experts in America say, although you had that problem, this is why I understand it, you had that hereditary problem, the vaccines made the problem worse. There's a term for it, I don't know what that term is. But so I'm not 100% vaccine, but I had my COVID-19 vaccine February 13, which, again, you talk about Satanist numbers, and you think, well, is this the day that the big mouth gets his shot and that's the end of him? Well, it's only 5 weeks later and I'm still here. Unfortunately, I got a bigger shock Friday. Would you like your second vaccine of Pfizer on Saturday next week? Which It's not a numbered problem next Saturday. I mean, just an ordinary day. In fact, if I remember rightly, Saturday's the 3rd. And in numerology, the 3rd day of the 4th month, which is my lucky 7. So maybe, you know, if I rely on numerology, I'll be all right. But there's been a lot of problems with these vaccines for a lot of people. And, you know, we understand that the government's saying, look, yeah, people get blood clots with the AstraZeneca, 37 of them. Wow, you know, but we've given out 37 million vaccines. Well, that's not really normal. You know, you can't moan about that.
Well, can I just interrupt?
Anyway, you carry on.
The reporting body that people make the reports to, they get less than 1% of the actual numbers of vaccine injury and death cases reported to them. When you think about it, you know, like you just lost your uncle, you just lost your mom, you just lost your grandma, you just lost whoever, and you're traumatized. So it's not like you want to get on the phone the next day and report the death or the vaccine injury to the body that deals with recording these incidents. So most people don't report at all. They're just dealing with their own family mishap or their family tragedy, and they don't even think to report about it. So that's the problem, Andy, is that what you're hearing in the news about, okay, 57 vaccine injuries, No. Multiply that number by 100, you know, at minimum, and you get more of a picture of how many actual vaccine injuries or deaths there are related to this particular COVID-19 vaccine. People speak about the COVID-19 vaccine without really looking into it, so they don't realize that there's different vaccines out there. You know, there's several different vaccines. So when they make a blanket statement like, oh, this vaccine's meant to sterilize the population, oh, this vaccine is meant to you know, kill people, it's a depopulation agenda, it's a bioweapon, well, you know, that's just not fair to suggest that as a blanket statement, because there are several different vaccines. And Johnson & Johnson, for example, which is a family business, have a reputation to uphold. And I really think that they have honestly tried to supply the public with a vaccine that will not cause any harm at all. Whereas I'm not convinced that Moderna and Pfizer have the, you know, best intentions with this vaccine. And I don't think that they have been honest about what their true purpose is. I mean, Moderna, if you go to their website, the mRNA vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, which means messenger RNA vaccine, they tell you there at the website that it's an operating system that they're installing in your body with regular updates, just like you have with your Microsoft Windows or Microsoft Office programs where they have regular updates. So think about the fact that, you know, you're not just getting one vaccine, but over the course of many years or months and many years, you're going to have regular updates of the vaccine. And you don't realize what you're getting into. You're going to be hooked to this thing for life. And what are they putting in your body? I mean, it is an experiment. There's just no question. You can't argue that it isn't an experiment. And according to the Nuremberg Code, you can't experiment on a civilian population without their informed consent. Well, how can you get informed consent from a population that can't even understand the science? What do you mean mRNA vaccine? They don't have a clue. They don't have enough science education to even understand the concept. I can guarantee you that with a medium education age of grade six in the United States, they do not understand what the hell you're talking about. Informed consent from an American? Are you kidding me? You couldn't get it? Get it if you put it on the blackboard and drew a picture for them. They're just incapable of understanding this stuff. I'm not insulting. I'm not meaning to insult, you know, the citizens of America. There's a lot of bright people there. But I'm just saying the median age is grade six in terms of education. And it's not much better in other countries if you really think about it, because the population is not conditioned to think. They're not conditioned to use critical thinking. They just take the information in and they're basically brainwashed. Sorry, Andy, I'm just blabbering here.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we don't understand it. I mean, I think the average person who's clever enough might think that if you look at the health side of it and the non-sort of judgmental side of it, you'd probably think that, you know, we do need extra boosters because the variant changes, which is very similar, you know, saying you'll need a booster. By the way, in the UK, they've already said that the old people over 70, they haven't chosen 50 or 60, but 70, 80, 90, 100-year-olds, they're going to have a booster already, they've decided, by September this year. And so that's scary. So in the normal context, you have to keep having boosters like you would with Microsoft. You know, you press your button and you get updated. It don't sound too bad if you think about it that way as a booster. But then when you look at it a different way, if you're getting updated as a booster, I read something. If you're getting updated as a booster, you know that they could then put something, you know, if you look at it a different way, they could put stuff into your body that makes you behave or don't behave or, yeah. So they could actually control you if you really are like a computer, you know. And why was Bill Gates ever involved in medical when he was just originally a computer man? You know, that kind of is a bit like, you know, satanic sort of symbol there in itself.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. From what I can understand from the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, there's claims that they have nanotechnology that is included within the vaccines, and that these nanoparticles are being embedded in the vaccine, and that once assembled inside the body, they can, look at metal, right? Silver, gold. These are conductors, and there's some elements like silicon that are semiconductors. The nanoparticles that they're putting inside us are metal in nature, and so they would be conductors, and therefore they would be able to accept signals. They would be instrumental in perhaps programming of the mind. They would have an application that is able to program us into compliance, perhaps. Are they to be interfaced with the 5G towers so that signals can be sent to us in terms of programming? Maybe. I would not at all underestimate what they have in mind with this whole program, but one thing is clear to me and that is that the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, especially the Moderna vaccine, is not meant to do what it purports to do, which is to defend us against this SARS-CoV-2 virus, which creates the syndrome of COVID-19. It is more of an operating system that is being implanted in us, those of us that are unfortunate enough to get this vaccine. I do believe that there's a sterilizing agent in the vaccines as well. Probably there will be a good portion of the population that received the vaccine that will end up infertile or sterile as a result of having taken it. The fact that there is such a international push to see that everyone on the planet is vaccinated should give people cause for pause and to just reflect and say, what are they really up to here? Because this is quite draconian. And what about our civil liberties? And what about people that just simply do not like vaccines and do not want vaccines? I mean, you're insisting absolutely that everyone gets it and that these vaccine passports be issued to all the citizens of the European Union. I mean, I'm sorry, but I just find it offensive. And they will have to, you know, kill me in a quarantine camp, which I believe they will do if they get their wish. I think that anyone who gets quarantined in the camp will simply die there, and they will say they died of COVID-19 when in fact they were just simply in a concentration camp, not a quarantine camp. They're slowly moving in that direction. Here in Canada, we have these COVID-19 hotels that Trudeau, the so-called prime minister, the so-called leader of this country, has implemented. And so people come back from their travel abroad and they have to spend considerable money from their own pocket to stay in these COVID-19 hotels. I mean, why? Let them go home to their family and stay with their family. I mean, all the people that you're mixing with in the hotel, I mean, come on, it's a petri dish for spreading this, that, and the other thing. What the hell is the benefit of staying in this bloody hotel where you're mixing with hotel staff and guests and passing all these people in the hall? You're actually making contact with far more people inside this stupid hotel, which is just a COVID jail. That's all it is. It's a COVID jail. And
Well, over in the UK, just giving you a comparison. It's actually worse than that over here. Well, worse, but maybe better in a different sense. When you go in this door called a hotel room, you pay £1,700 for being in there for 10 days. So that includes all the tests you need, all your food, everything. £1,700 for 10 days is quite a lot of money, and a lot of people haven't got that amount of money. But once you step foot into your hotel room, that is it. The only way you can get out of that room is literally with a doctor, a doctor's note, you know, permission. They actually lock you in. Well, not literally, but if you come out, that's it. You go into jail or something and get deported. You're not allowed out of your room. After so many days in the UK, five or six, I think, and you've had a second test and it's still negative, you're probably allowed for the last few days exercise when nobody else is there. But you're certainly not allowed to meet anybody. They put your food outside your door and you have to wait a few seconds before you open it. And they're not literally locking you in, but the CCTV, if you come out, you're banged away. There's been a few people like that.
Yeah, I see. So it's similar to the conditions here in Canada. And I think, you know, when you look at the coordination behind this whole thing, And you look at how policies are enacted in Britain and Canada and the United States and in other countries, and you see how close the different protocols are, you realize that there was advanced planning in this whole thing, which allows for the coordination to be so seamless across the planet, and that there's a clear agenda on the part of the world government bodies like the, you know, United Nations, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, etc., to impose these measures upon the population. And they're doing it ostensibly because they're trying to protect us from a disease threat, when in fact they do not have that intention at all. They're implementing a system called the Great Reset, which will allow them to gain a world governance control over all the nation states. And if you look at a document like, say, Klaus Schwab's book, COVID-19, the Great Reset, you can see that he immediately launches into this criticism of nations like the US and the UK, which embrace a kind of neoliberalism philosophy, an economic philosophy that is basically unpopular with these globalists that belong to the World Economic Forum, because they want to impose the communist model upon the whole world. You know, it's basically a communist coup, this whole pandemic, a communist coup of the World Economic Forum to impose the communist system upon us internationally. They even say on their website, in the future, you will own nothing, but you will be happy. Excuse me, but I think I will be owning something, and whatever you think you're going to do, well, you can go to hell, basically, because people like me are not going to be sitting there and letting you take our property away from us. I mean, here in Canada, they've just introduced a new law so that people who buy and sell property have to pay a tax now on the sale of the property, whereas before, that wasn't considered a capital gain type of tax. And so clearly they're trying to claw back everything from us slowly but surely, until we have no savings and no nest eggs and nothing in terms of a legacy. And when you have nothing to pass on to your children, then that basically means that you're propertyless, and that they will also be propertyless. They're tightening the noose around us economically, financially, politically, socially, and every other kind of way to turn us into worker unit slaves. They're trying to basically return us to serfdom, as in feudal serfdom of the feudal period. This is corporate feudalism, basically, that's being imposed upon us internationally. We will have no human rights whatsoever, but oh, we'll be happy. Well, yes, of course. And we will have no control over our food supply, but we'll be basically fed junk and poison, but we'll be happy. Yeah, great. What kind of drugs are they going to be giving us to keep us happy? I mean, it's Brave New World all over, and it's not as if Aldous Huxley was some kind of social prophet that could see what was coming in the future. He was part of the planning committee, for God's sakes. You know, it's like H.G. Wells, who worked for British intelligence, writing these books about the future, like The Shape of Things to Come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know The Shape of Things to Come when you're bloody well part of the planning committee. Anyway.
A couple of numbers come in, 2021 and Agenda 21. You know, it's so coincidentally happens, doesn't it? But anyway, why did they call it COVID-19 when really most people decided it was 2020 when it really happened? You know, we're blaming China, of course, but no. I actually think the people who think we're being programmed are probably right, because it takes a little while for me to believe stuff, as you know, and sometimes very quickly to believe. And on this one, I've spoken with a guy at length. His name's Mark Steele. Mark Steele has got so many qualifications in technology and engineering, and he runs a campaign in the UK, 5G, you know, exposing 5G because his specialist subject within his makeup, yeah, so within his education, was microwave waves. And he proved to us on videos, you know, what was happening from 5G masks, what it's doing to the birds. Because a lot of people, you tell them something, well, nah, I don't believe it. But if you actually see what's going on, it was absolutely, you know, mind-boggling. And the first program we had with him when COVID-19 was around, he said exactly what you said today, tonight. They're going to find a way, because you've basically got the stuff inside you now if you've had the vaccine, and all it needs is a 5G to reprogram or get you to do stuff. Now, I told you the other day, I don't want Joanne to hear, hopefully she won't, I had some hallucinations or some weird stuff after having the vaccine. And I'm going to have my next one on Saturday, so I'll record it. I've kind of been a guinea pig, but at the same time, I love traveling. And it's not fair that, in fact, it's even worse than that now. You don't have to just have them for traveling. You have to actually have it if you're going to go in a concert venue or theatre in the UK. No vaccine, no entry. Really weird.
Yeah. Here in Canada, the premier of the province that I live in, he's talked about making education continue online.
I just hope you don't hear.
And so it may well be that we'll have online education going forward, and that the schools will be shuttered, and people will not be attending the school institutions as such, but getting their education online. So, you know, what are we going to see in the future? I mean, I look at those old short stories, those sci-fi stories written in the 70s by Ray Bradbury's 60s or 70s. And, you know, you have these telescreens in the home, and people stay inside, and Mr. Meade's out in the short story, The Pedestrian, for a nightly stroll in this lone police car with itself. Self-driving police car, you know, it's an automated police car with no police inside, stops him, and the police speaker says, what are you doing out? Why are you out and about? Why aren't you at home? And, you know, everyone else is inside their homes in the evening watching whatever they're watching on their tele screen, and he's the only one out catching some fresh air and going for a stroll. So, I mean, COVID-19 pandemic has done this, right? We're all now housebound. And a lot of the office buildings and office space in our cities is going to be converted into residential living space. And the whole retail sector, as we know it, is gone. I mean, and the whole idea of having paying overhead costs for running an office, you know, no, the companies are going to be more and more relying on online communication and just setting up Zoom meetings and just connecting remotely. And so, I mean, I don't even know that there will be theaters in the future with the way things are going. People will probably be watching these films, Netflix or whatever will be their provider, and they'll be watching films at home on these big screen TVs. I don't know that, you know, the theater and the cinema are going to reemerge as venues of entertainment just because of the way they have made this whole threat of disease something that's foremost in the public mind. And anyway,
Well,
vaccines, well.
on that note, sorry, I'm only interrupting because it's sort of relevant to what I remember and what you tell me. Remember that for some reason, I know we're delving in a little bit off subject, but it's to do with Shakespeare, really. The teachers now are saying in America that, you know, Shakespeare? No, we don't want to talk about that anymore. Well, did I pick that up right? They don't want to talk about Shakespeare anymore because...
Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes with the theatre element of, you know, I mean, because, okay, I can understand people not wanting to watch a movie, but they're actually doing totally the opposite. What you want to do is theatre and maybe Shakespeare and, I don't know, maybe public speaking, whatever. You know, you may want to travel, but what they're actually doing is making you stay at home. They want you to sit on Bill Gates's computer, talk, waffle all day long. They want you to watch all them films that are programmed into you. And if you don't like them, they can program something else into you after you've had your vaccine. So, you know, I think they're trying to, I don't think it's the word ethnic cleansing comes to mind, but they certainly want to keep people apart. You know, desocialization may be the word, one I made up just now.
Yes. Well, I think the vaccine thing, they're just really pushing it for their own agenda reasons, on top of what we've discussed with the nanotechnology and the interface with the 5G towers and so forth. There's also the vaccine certificate. Now, from what I can understand, it's a gel that is included in the vaccine, and this gel assembles subcutaneously under your skin when the vaccination is complete. And so it would be something that could be scanned, and it would act as a vaccine certificate afterwards, so that if you're passing through some kind of checkpoint, like an airport customs checkpoint, you would be able to scan for it and see that you've in fact been vaccinated. In the future, they intend to set up military checkpoints, something like what you've seen with these films like District 9. They probably want to end what we now know as the nation state and have these UN districts set up. And so the idea of traveling will be limited. You're basically returning to feudal times where your life travels were confined to a 5 or 10 mile radius, and the world beyond, you never saw the world beyond. It was beyond the horizon, a place that you never visited in your lifetime. So they'll set up these districts, and the people that live within that district will have their news, and the people that live in the district next to them will have their news, and they won't be getting the same news. And so when they end up culling the population or doing whatever they're doing to the people in the next district, you will have no idea what's happening to them, nor will they have any idea what's happening to you over in your district. So it's going to be a balkanized world, as they would have it, in which we simply live in our own isolated zones. And they're setting all these countries up for failed nation status. Well, of course, if you unplug the economy, if you impose all kinds of limits on people's business activities, and you end up funding organizations like Antifa to create terror in the country, and you have these idiots like George Soros funding all these operations to destroy the country and completely sabotage the country, then yeah, you're going to be a failed state. But I mean, it's so plainly obvious what they're doing. And I just find it very sad that people cannot see that this is all agenda driven, that this is all just one great plandemic in order to, you know, implement the Great Reset. They simply don't want us, Andy. That's it. You know, like robots, you don't have to feed them. You don't have to give them a salary. You don't have to pay them. You don't have to give them benefits. You don't have to give them a pension plan. I mean, they're so much cheaper, more economical. Why would you have humans? You don't need them. Get rid of them. We'll have robots instead. We'll have AI instead. I mean, I can see already that they're having us as teachers design programs so that AI can basically replace us, so that all these programs are going to be kept by the school. And then eventually when AI teachers are introduced, these AI talking heads, all the programs, all the curriculum will already be in place for the talking head to take over. And teachers, well, there won't be any, because they don't want any human input. They don't want someone like me to express my own personal views on any subject, because, well, they don't want us to think, and they don't want to encourage critical thinking. They want programming. The word tells you, doesn't it? Education program, radio program, TV program. You are being programmed. But this is taking it to a whole next level, a whole new level. You know, we're just going to be programmed by AI. That's it. That's it. That's the teacher of the future, buddy.
Well, just hope we die on the job, you know, having sex with somebody that we love, because we're not bothered about the money, we're not bothered about the things in the world we can't change, because a lot of people are, though. But I think we should just enjoy what we've got, and this is my attitude regarding this vaccine. I know it's not 100%, you know, in fact, it's not even 30% or 40%, what I thought it was. But they scare you into a way, you know, like last year it was, we're all going to die of this virus, because in Italy there was loads of people dying, and in the UK there was loads of people. And so then it kind of made you panic a little bit, or fear maybe there is a real thing going about. But then when you realise they're actually fiddling the figures. Now, the news reports over here, and no one's really picked up on it, what they say is so many people have died of COVID vaccine, and so many people have died with it. Now, there's more people died with it than of it. So, example, somebody in the hospital, they broke their leg. They got a bit of septicemia and they died. Well, on the death certificate, it wasn't died of that infection. It was died with COVID-19. Because COVID-19 was present at the time. But another patient, you know, as another example, elderly lady in a care home, she died of COVID-19 because she actually had the respiratory disease that gave a COVID-19. But they're putting them figures together and making you worry, thinking there's a big problem going around. Now, a lot of countries in Asia, they've kind of done this, haven't they? Stuck their fingers up. You know, yes, it's a problem, but we'll sort it. You know, they're not even listening to what's going on in the West. That's why Vietnam has probably only had, I don't know, I mean, last time I looked, 2 or 3 deaths of COVID-19. And a lot of countries in Asia have had very small numbers of actual infections. And they've got no money or testing programs. Well, they try their best. So why is it more of a problem in the West?
Yeah, same disease. Basically what I was saying is that you had this event 201, which was planned and orchestrated by the World Economic Forum, which was basically a germ game, which is similar to a war game. And they held this event in October of 2019, about 3 to 4 months before the actual COVID-19 pandemic, which they were clearly in charge of and which they had clearly orchestrated. So what they did was they had John Hopkins University actually host the event. John Hopkins University is well known for being involved in bioweapon research of a dual technology nature, which means that they use what they call they use a form of technology where they actually use a bioweapon research program where they use gain of function technology to enhance the strength in terms of both virulence and the virulence of a virus and it's strengthening its transmission capability, basically. And then they also work on the vaccine program to find the cure for what it is that they've created in the lab. Now, they claim that they're doing this gain of function research so that they can protect the population against a bioweapon if it were to be deployed against their civilian population. So that it's a, you know, a defensive program. But the fact is it can be used for offensive purposes as well. And surely it would be, and it has been. So you have the perfect MO, really, because you've got Dr. Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Health, working on a program with the scientists at the Wuhan lab in Wuhan, China. And they're, you know, basically sharing this gain of function technology with the Chinese scientists, allowing them to develop a bioweapon type of virus through the coordinated efforts of both these U.S. scientists and these Chinese scientists. And it's like a counterintelligence operation where the Chinese will get the blame for releasing a deadly pathogen upon the world, when in fact it's the complicity of our own governments that has allowed it to take place, with the transfer of technology happening from the Winnipeg Bioweapon Laboratory in Manitoba, Canada, where they actually had a Chinese agent working at the facility, which is supposed to be a very high-level security facility, been letting her walk out with samples of Ebola and various viruses, which she took back to the Wuhan lab with her. You know, she was enabled. I mean, this is not some accident that the RCMP investigation just happened upon. She was enabled. It's clear that there's, you know, the rank and file of people within the lab itself allowed her to do this. And how did she get through Canadian customs with, you know, biological agents like Ebola? I mean, God, she must have been given a VIP line and said, come on over here, dear. Oh, you know, we don't even need to see your passport. Okay, there you go. You can board the plane now. I mean, Canada did it. Don't blame China. Canada is responsible for this COVID-19 pandemic, and so is the United States. And Fauci's the perfect cover because he looks like he's the grandfather that's in charge of protecting everyone, the great patriarch that comes to the rescue. No, he's a mad scientist. He is Dr. Evil. He's Dr. Death. He is using this status that has been granted to him to make him look above board. He's a mega criminal, one of the worst that's ever lived. This man deserves to be executed for crimes against humanity, and hopefully he will be, along with Bill Gates and all of the other participants, because Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is posing as a charity foundation, is nothing of the kind. It's engaged in child trafficking, racketeering, basically poisoning the population with a very dodgy food supply. taking control of agro giant companies around the world, imposing geosulfate type of food products on us that are just saturated geosulfate because of the fact that they use a Monsanto style agent called Roundup on their crops, and they're effectively poisoning the population. What did George Orwell say in 1984? He said teams of scientists would be indefatigably at work, building more and more powerful explosives, more and more impenetrable iron plating, and they would be making soluble poisons capable of poisoning the vegetation of whole continents, and disease germs immunized against all possible antibodies. He was working for British intelligence. His name was Blair. He used the pen name George Orwell. He told us what they were up to with the novel 1984. Not a work of fiction at all. A work like H.G. Wells' The Shape of Things to Come. He was telling us about the shape of things to come. He was involved. He knew what was coming down the pipe. He had seen the documentation. He'd taken part in the meetings. He knew exactly what the globalists had planned for us. And here it is. And yeah, it may not be 1984, but it's here. It's all here now. Plainly visible for all to see. Everything that he had projected, every prophecy, social prediction he had made, it's all here. It's here.
It's night in, but way better with the Philips OLED 935 series from Curry's PC World. Smart LEDs react to what's on screen, filling your room with immersive ambilight. AI enhances whatever you're watching, making your screen feel even bigger. While HDR makes motion perfectly smooth, ideal for fast-paced sports and movies. Philips OLED Ambilight. Those who have it, love it. So get ready for breathtaking sharpness, color, and sound at Curry's PC World.
At Honda, we listen to the unexpected for inspiration. Like feet. All that tapping, stepping, stopping and starting. That's a lot of energy. Energy that could be used to charge a battery. The new Honda CR-V Hybrid turns braking into charge for a more efficient drive. Which means less stopping for fuel. Honda, the power of dreams.